It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everyone. Happy Saturday. Good to be with you. The whole crew is in the house. Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric. Fellas, how are you?
Doing good. What's up?
Well, you know what? I'm just... It's funny how much I and really the rest of the nation just love football. You know? It's just great. I find myself, as silly as it is, I find myself following so closely, like, transactions that are taking place in the NFL, like literally hitting the transaction button on like ESPN to see what were the latest transactions, who got cut, and I'm saying to myself, is that crazy? Similar bill? Is that nuts?
No. I mean, you know, football's all year round thing now.
Hey, good morning.
So.
Yeah, you didn't hold on. I'm sorry, but
hey, I
threw that. Oh, it's up in there, and you probably thought that was Terminus.
What now?
A minute ago when you said, hey, to the guys, I did my part, but I think I also got his usual what's up in there. That was not Terminus saying hello. That was me. So he wanted to say hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. There we go. Okay. All right. Well, as always, jam-packed show, a lot of stuff to get to, lots of opinions to be spewed out over the airways today. We have our fitness tip coming up later, also our water check, and, of course, our review of last week's Walking Dead in our entertainment segment. Very exciting things going on in the show. And Terminus, Eric, he brought up, it was like good news, bad news just a minute ago. We were talking off the air, some of the villainy, and he was mentioning The Walking Dead. He goes, can you believe we only have 4 episodes left for this season? And it's like, what happens? I guess that always happens when you really like something, be it a sport or a particular program, it seems like it goes by so fast. Where, remember being in school? It seemed like the year would never end.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how long, not to get off on a tangent here, but how long were those school days sometimes?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, but think about football season. When you kick things off, you got the, you know, big game against, you know, a team, and then all of a sudden you're talking about the end of the season, man. It's quick.
Yeah, you know what? It does. It seems like just yesterday we were previewing last season.
Right.
And now here we are talking about the upcoming draft. And we're going to look at the mock draft today. Similar bill, folks. We went over a mock draft, Terminus and Eric and I did, a few weeks ago. But you know what's awesome is how things change every single week. I love hearing everybody's different opinion, especially people in the know, and them jockeying and changing where they think players are going to be taken and why. And then what's great is, some of the bill, is that you listen to these analysts out there, and just like all fans that are listening to our show right now, and then if you're a fan of the game, which we are, then you form your own opinion about what they're saying based on what you have witnessed, because we all like watching football. Does that make sense, some of the bill?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly correct.
So we're going to get into a mock draft in the next segment. We'll tell you where the latest projections are and everything, and have some comments on it, because there's all kinds of, you know, there's controversy going on. It's fantastic. But not to talk about something too serious, but this past week, and I'm sure some of you might have heard it, but some of you might not have, Curt Schilling is, he's always been one to speak his mind, the former great baseball player. And now he's an analyst for ESPN, I think, a baseball analyst. But, you know, this is all boils down to Twitter is why I'm bringing this up. And, you know, he was tweeting out stuff, and his daughter, you know, is going to a college. I don't know if she got a scholarship or something. Bottom line is that a lot of individuals at that college, guys, made some really awful comments via Twitter to her and to him. And this is the reason I'm telling you this is because Schilling, in return, who's a tech-savvy guy, said, I'm not going to stay. That's over the line. You can say some things, but you can't say just really vile, awful things about my daughter and basically anybody out there. Just because it's, you're hiding behind these names and everything, you shouldn't be able to get away with it. Yes, we live in a free country, but there's a line that you cross. So, similar to Bill, Curt Schilling, and everybody out there but don't know it, he started saving these tweets from these individuals. He tracked them down with their names. And these were college students to the college that his daughter was going to go to. And I find this fascinating. He tracked them down, found out their names, spoke to the college. Now, many of them are either kicked out or suspended from college. He notified their parents what their kids, their sons, are saying out there. And he's proven a point that, you know what, technology is great. Twitter, Instagram, you know, all this stuff. And it's especially awesome for people like us that love information and to know a little insight into whatever it is, your favorite athlete, your favorite, you know, whatever it is, to stay connected with friends. You know, it's a great thing. But he wanted to make a point that says, you know what, you shouldn't be allowed to do whatever you want to out there. And so not only did he get that done, but on top of that, Seminole Bill, is that he is now, and he has lots of money, even though he lost lots of money, but he has lots of money. He's going after them to sue them to the fullest of his ability, according to the law. And I thought, you know, I took a step back, and I read all the information and everything. And you know, my conclusion is that, you know, I really do. I applaud him for that whole situation because it takes once in a while somebody to stand up. It has nothing to do with free speech. You know what I mean? Do you agree or disagree with what he did?
Totally agree with that because I did, believe it or not, I did hear when you relayed that right there, I did hear inklings of that, and I thought the same thing. Look, technology is wonderful, but, you know, it's one thing to write under a pseudonym, but, I mean, when you're sitting back there, you know, making a mockery of someone or their life or, you know, if you can't have the chutzpah, if you will, to say it and own it, then why are you going to say it? You know, I mean, there's an old Scotland Highlander, I have to throw it out to you from a movie I saw one time, Nemo impunitus esset, which means you will not harm me with impunity. So
wait, hang on, stop the. Do we have a breaking news sound? Because that was impressive, Terminus Eric. Seminole Bill just spoken like elfish or something just now, and he remember any Okay, well, we have a lightning bolt, so I don't want to strike Seminole Bill down. I was more going to applaud him.
I think I just got struck by the Irish or something. You know, the Irish or the Scottish.
Now you're changing voices, but I don't know what language you spoke, but you're absolutely right. And just because you have that free speech, you're right. You should never say anything that you feel that. I always said this. Never say anything that you know that no matter how old you are that your parents wouldn't approve of, that you would be embarrassed to tell your parents. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
And I thought that's kind of a, you know, a good thing. I'm not talking about a curse word. I'm talking about something that's vile that you would say out there that you can't hide behind that. And I'm glad Curt Schilling did it, and hopefully other people will follow. You know what? So I guess there's lines. You know, one, there's a line with females. I know nobody wants to hear that, but, well, I don't know if maybe people agree or disagree, but, you know, you treat them different with respect.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where when it comes to guys, sometimes you can get away with a little bit more. Why that is, I don't know, but that seems to be the norm. But in a day and age right now, not that we're taking this show too serious right now, but with cyberbullying out there,
Seminole
Bill.
Yeah, true.
That's why I'm saying I'm glad Curt Schilling did something like that. And there needs to be consequences for people out there.
I agree with that. And, you know, not sidetracking, but with some of the things you've done in your past career and working around, in and around children especially, you've seen the effects of that, I know. And you just don't want that for any kid. No kid. And nobody's daughter and nobody's son, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Seminole Bill and I, we will, I guess, get everybody updated on the latest mock draft. We'll have our thoughts because there's all kinds of jockeying going on. There's big NFL trades that have recently happened that do affect the upcoming draft. So a lot of stuff to get to here in the Mark Lord Show. Stay with us. We're coming right back.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
It's me, Mark Lloyd. Okay, fans, Peyton Manning, LeBron James, and Andrew Luck, all number one picks. Now let me tell you who your number one pick should be when it comes to protecting your identity. Hands down, it's Rapid Pro from our great friends at Fraud Protection Network. You hear the stories daily, retailer after retailer, having their so-called secure systems being hacked into by criminals, and thousands of good folks like you instantly becoming victims of identity theft. Our amazing team at Fraud Protection Network has developed the next generation in identity theft protection. Rapid Pro, real-time identity theft protection. You get credit monitoring, lost wallet protection, and positive trigger alerts, change of address, payday cash advance, and public records monitoring as well. It's all there, friends. You get true real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff, award-winning member service support, and $25,000 service guarantee to back you up. Call Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Take it from Mark Lloyd. When it comes to identity theft, the number one pick is Rapid Pro from Fraud Protection Network.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us on this fantastic Saturday. And folks, if you do not have your identity protected yet, you need to do so now, and do so with our good friends from Fraud Protection Network, proud sponsors of the Mark Lloyd Show, and their Rapid Pro real-time identity theft protection. They protect my identity, my whole family's identity. Give them a call at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at
fraudprotectionnetwork.com.
Yes, sir. Let's talk. Before we went to break, we said we're going to talk a little of the mock draft. The latest mock draft came out with Kiper, McShay, you know, NFL Network, Walter Camp. You know, there's 10 different versions of mock draft. I personally just love it. You know, I don't know. Maybe I like lists. I like rankings. I like all that stuff, no matter what it is. So the consensus, finally, they all came to their senses. Write some of the bill, and the consensus pretty much is that Jameis Winston to Tampa.
That's what it seems like.
And he was just in Tampa this past week and met with him for 3 days. And, yep. It comes with the territory that if you're one of the top picks in the draft, you're going to be just scrutinized, you know, looked at with, under the microscope and picked apart no matter what you're doing and what you have done. The one thing that sometimes I don't think, and maybe they do and I don't realize it, but when it comes to the draft in general, sometimes I don't think they give enough credit to like exactly what that individual did in college and against what competition. And, when Ron Jaworski is just ripping Jameis Winston, then again, Jaworski rips all the quarterbacks before they get into the NFL and become somebody. But when it comes to Winston, and it's like, do your research a little bit. Mel Kiper does a good job. I mean, he truly, because he loves college football, he watches all of it. So when they bring up about Winston and how many interceptions he threw this past year, similar bill, it kills me that if state the facts, did he throw a lot more interceptions this year than he did the year before? Yes. Okay. Follow that up with why. Have an opinion. Don't just know that Kelvin Benjamin went to the NFL, that Kenny Shaw is no longer there. You know, talk about that he had really one veteran wide receiver and the rest were true, true freshmen that he was throwing to. So there were plenty. I guarantee you, you could knock off 8 to 10 interceptions. He probably had 5 to 8 interceptions on the year. You know what I mean? That maybe was a bad throw. But also, put into perspective, right, some of the Bill, the pressure and who they're playing, and before Dalvin Cook started running the ball, you know, all the pressure was on Winston. And with the defense not performing well, you know, always having to come back, so you're always having to throw in the defense knowing that. You know, it's like, follow that up with that. Point out some of the other facts other than he threw a lot of interceptions. Am I right?
Yeah, true. Got to give something better than that.
Yeah, but that's what they say. That's what I'm saying.
But what you just said was relevant. I mean, if you're there watching the games regularly and you're, you know, noticing that, you know, you've got a new crop of receivers for the most part, you know, than what you had, you know, the past year. You've got one real, you know, well, two, you know, main receivers you can go to if you want to throw in the tight end. And just when you're running those progressions and routes down the field, a lot of those windows where he was throwing into were tight. I mean, just because guys not knowing where they're supposed to be, not breaking where they're supposed to break, not understanding how to read the defense and make that adjustment on the fly, you know, that happens. I mean, even sometimes – you know, being with Rashad and Nick, you know, even just a little mystery between two experienced receivers can cause a ball to be or look like a badly thrown ball when it could have been just the way the receiver read the route or the side adjustment on the quarterback trying to get to the receiver again. It's just lots of little variables that go into making a good, strong pass, you know, past the first 5 yards of the field.
You know what? You brought up a good point just then, too. You know what would be interesting, Samuel Bill, is to look back at Winston's interceptions and see how many picks did he throw where the ball was intended for a Rashad Greene or a Nick O'Leary.
Right.
Now you start getting down into, you know, one, two.
Yeah, very few.
You know, where you can't chalk up chemistry or anything because they have it, you know. So bottom line is the Buccaneers are going to take Winston at number one, and it's going to be very, very exciting. All right, let's move down. Here's what I'm talking about when it comes to the draft now. Leonard Williams at number two. Is that what draft is it? You got to make going number two to
right.
the Tennessee Titans, which
right.
I think is a good pick. He's been a star since the minute he walked on the USC campus. He's a good guy all around, but the bottom line is that he's always performed on the football field,
correct.
You know, and he has a size, et cetera. So I think that's a home run. A guy that we're very familiar with because we're here in Florida is Dante Fowler Jr.
Right.
And he's a beast, man. No matter who he went
tough.
Up against, he was in the backfield.
And, you know, the Jaguars, you know, much like the Buccaneers, have an opportune moment to take a guy that's local to them, really, you know, and bring some fans in.
You know what? For a team like the Jags, Seminole Bill, how important is that? You know, to get like a Gator or somebody, or how they took Blake Bortles from UCF. How important? I think that goes a long ways with bringing in fans and creating new fans too.
You know what? I'll say this. I think that's more important in a state like Florida than a lot of other places where you might have pro football. Just because, you know, other than the Dolphins, the Bucks. You know, they were expansion team. The Jags. You need to build with your fan base. And I know it's been a few years for the Bucks, but well, I'm gonna tell you that they. When they had the glory years going back when Gruden was there, you had the Brooks and a few of the other guys in and about. That made a difference to have, you know, the Warwick Dunn coming through there, you know, Derek Brooks and all the other guys
Warren,
from the different teams. Warren Sapp, of course. Yeah,
good,
I mean,
good point.
It just endears people that – I mean, college football is so passionate in the South as it is, and Florida especially so in the South and the Southeast. I mean, why wouldn't you if you could? If the guy's a quality player – why don't you grab a guy like that? I mean, the Jags did the same thing with a couple of Seminoles last year, or the year before. So, I mean, it's intelligent when you're trying to rebuild or build a franchise. You know, the owner of them, Khan, is doing a great job with the stadium. Now you bring in some ball players like Bortles and some of these other guys, and he'll have what he wants to have pretty soon. It's a young, growing team that really, you know, at some point in the near future should be competitive.
You know what? You know, that's a good point. And when you were talking just then, I was looking at the draft, the mock draft, and I was thinking, out of the top 10 picks, or maybe the top 15 picks, I think that the two most crucial picks for these teams in this draft is the Bucks and Winston, I think, is crucial. And then the other one that I really do think is extremely important, if this team is finally going to start getting better again, is pick number four, the Raiders, taking Amari Cooper. There's talk that Kevin White has supplanted him. This is when I want to go back to college. Kevin White had a fantastic year. Right. But you could chalk him up to a one-year wonder. Cooper is a proven machine. I mean, he really is. He's incredible. He's a fantastic
talent.
He's
a stud.
And he's such a good guy.
Yep.
That I'm thinking, you know, as silly as it sounds, and I know people might chuckle out there because we're talking about the Raiders, but I could see Cooper literally helping turn that team around, because they have a second-year quarterback now in Derek Carr, and then you would now have him a go-to wide receiver. I think Cooper can be the Tim Brown that was there, you know, a very, very good wide receiver, kind of the way Marvin Harrison was to Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Do you agree or disagree on that, Bill? Or am I
I do. No. You know what? It's just we're going to fall back into a cliche, but, I mean, if you want to look at the competition and who White was going up versus, you know, Amari and Cooper was going up, I mean, you know,
it's
night and day, you know, in terms of the league and the quality of the opposition, the quality of the defenses you see, the schemes you see in the SEC are pretty versatile, pretty entrenched in NFL philosophy. So, you know, it's, you know, you don't have any junk, if you will, no junk schemes. You know, it's not like you're running up and down the field scoring, you know, 100 points. You're actually, you know, you're battling close, you know, close games in the most part on both sides of the football. And, you know, those systems translate very well to the NFL, which is why they have so many people drafted, you know, out of the SEC. So, I would think, I mean, I'm seeing the same thing you are, that, you know, a lot of folks are looking at White now, maybe because of some of the stuff that's been going on.
Well, he did it at the combine and stuff, and, you know, he's a little bit heavier. It's funny, I'm sitting there, I'm listening to him going, because he ran like 0.2 tenths of a second faster than Cooper, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then they're going, and he's like 3 or 4 pounds heavier, and I'm going, okay. And that changed your mind over who Cooper was? I go, he's as close to a sure thing as you could get out of college.
Yeah.
It's just silly. I love the combine. But at times it's like, I don't know about dropping a guy and supplanting him because somebody ran that much fast. Cooper ran like a 4.42. That's still really, really fast.
Well, yeah. So two of the top receivers in the past few years, I mean, coming out were from the, you know, again, I'll give the SEC the credit, the kid from Georgia, Green, and then the other kid from Bama. You know, I mean,
Julio Jones.
Yeah, Julio, I'm sorry. And, I mean, they're proven. I mean, you know, it's you're around pro style coaches, and that's the way it is. You know, they run that kind of offense. So
there's no doubt about that. All right, fifth pick, Missouri. I have Shane Ray. Fifth pick is a Redskins. Shane Ray out of Missouri, defensive end, going there. That's kind of like, I have no idea. I guess he'll be okay. I mean, he'll have every chance. Missouri seems to be putting pretty good defensive guys into the NFL, even though somehow Michael Sam, which is kind of bizarre to me, how that guy can't make it right now when he was that good in college. Here's the pick, and I'm not down on Marcus Mariota, but I just don't know what people are seeing here. Is the guy fast? Yeah. But, you know, as everybody said numerous times, I mean, he's never played in a pro-style offense. You cannot run in the NFL, period, bottom line. You have to know how to throw to throw the receiver open, I think is the terms that they use. You have to be able to throw in a tight window. I think the Jets are nuts if they take Marcus Mariota. I think he's – if I'm late in the first round and I need a quarterback, maybe I take him. But there's no way I take him as a top 10 player. Is he a top 10 player? Yes. Top 10 quarterback, you know, to be taken? No way. I completely disagree with everybody there.
It's tough. You do have to – I mean, you look at what they did. I mean, has he been successful? Absolutely. But you wonder if it's just due to a – unfortunately, the word system of a scheme in college, which will work. I mean, you know, go back to Spurrier with Warfel and Tebow. He made those systems work, you know.
Yeah, true.
It's just the way he did things and spread the field. And then, you know, of course, you know, Tebow in his years there with the way he did things. But they didn't, unfortunately, translate into the type of throwing pocket passers you need to have in the NFL. And that's what you got to worry about with Mariota. Can he stay in the pocket and throw?
Bill, I feel like you're doing an Oscar speech and then just the music saying that you had to end. Because I wanted to comment on that. Okay, when we come back, we'll do a little bit more of the mock draft. Then I want to talk about debuts in sports. So we'll get to all that coming back right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7EVENT-1, 877-7EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
It's me, Mark Lloyd. You know, in football, the quarterback depends on his best offensive lineman to protect his blind side. But let me ask you a question. Who's got your back, huh? Who's protecting your identity? You hear the stories daily. Retailer after retailer having their so-called secure systems being hacked into by criminals and thousands of good folks like you instantly becoming victims of identity theft. So how do you keep from being sacked? Well, now we have our own version of the Steel Curtain. Our amazing team at Fraud Protection Network has developed the next generation in identity theft protection. And it's a beast, baby! Rapid Pro real-time identity theft protection. You get credit monitoring, lost wallet protection, and positive trigger alerts, change of address, payday cash advance, and public records monitoring. It's real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff. Award-winning member service support and a $25,000 service guarantee to back you up. Call Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Take it from Mark Lloyd. When it comes to identity theft, you can't afford to lose.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Fraud Protection Network, that's who protects the Mark Lloyd Show. Give them a call. Let them protect your identity today. With the Rapid Pro Real-Time Identity Theft Protection Program, it's fantastic. I mean, it does all kinds of things from credit monitoring to lost wallet protection, positive trigger alerts. It's just all kinds of stuff that it takes care of your identity for you. It's real simple. Give them a call. Tell them the Mark Lloyd Show sent you at 855-203-0683. Or if you choose, maybe you don't want to call them, you can visit their website, similar bill at
FraudProtectionNetwork.com.
It's that easy. Okay, here we go. The rest mention a mock draft real quick because I want to talk about some debuts in sports. At 7, Randy Gregory, the outside linebacker out of Nebraska. 8, the Falcons have him taking an offensive lineman. They need a lot of help, but, man, I thought for sure they'd go defensive some way, somehow. 9, I have the Giants taking Andrews Pete, the 5-star kid out of Stanford. I remember when he was thinking about going to Florida State, Selma Bill, if you remember.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He turned out to be awesome. Here's that Kevin White guy you were mentioning at the wide receiver out of West Virginia. Him going 10 to the Rams, which would be nice for the Rams. If Sam Bradford stay healthy, that would really help them out. How about this one? Trey Waynes, the defensive back out of Michigan State, going to the Vikings. And on the other side at Minnesota is, slipped my mind, the defensive back last year out of Florida State. Gosh, what's his name? Oh, well, think of it, Bill.
Okay, I got it. It's Xavier Rhodes.
Exactly, the X-Man.
That would be
nice for Minnesota.
Right.
Trey Waynes on one side, Xavier Rhodes on the other. At 12, the Browns taking Devontae Parker out of Louisville, which makes sense because Josh Gordon's going to be gone for the whole year. 13, Vic Beasley, Somerville. You know him well because you're a Seminole fan and playing
Clemson,
always up against him in Clemson. Yeah. He's a fantastic player.
A good fit. They need an LB right there. That's a good one.
Yes. The Dolphins taking Jalen Collins, the defensive back out of LSU, which they need to because – they're getting rid of their defensive backs, their wide receivers, so they're doing all kinds of changes down there in Miami, but that would be a nice pick. The 49ers taking Eric Armstead. He was a former 5-star kid that went to Oregon, defensive tackle, big kid, to go to the Niners, but the Niners just signed Darnell Dockett.
They just got Darnell, right. So that, I wonder, you know, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. And then Leo Collins to go to the Texans, the offensive tackle at LSU, another 5-star kid. See, we know recruiting some of the Bills, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And then San Diego. San Diego seems like it's just always – it's so far out there, we're over here, that it's like, all right, they're going to take T.J. Clemens, the offensive tackle out of Pitt.
Yeah.
Big deal. Okay. Yeah, that's not even exciting. 18, KC, here's – they're going to take Landon Collins, another 5-star kid out of Alabama as a strong safety because who knows what's going on with Eric Berry because he has Hodgkin's lymphoma, some kind of form of cancer, but hopefully he'll get better. 19, Danny Shelton, the defense nose tackle out of Washington, goes to the Browns. The Browns have 2 first-round picks. 20 is the Eagles. They need defensive help. Kevin Johnson, the defensive back out of Wake Forest. 21st is the Bengals. Eric Flowers out of Miami. And we'll go to here. We'll go to 22nd. Is your Steelers taking outside linebacker Bud Dupree out of Kentucky? I personally, I'll be honest with you, I don't know who that guy is.
Well, hopefully Stoops taught him something.
Yeah.
You know?
Because he's going to go to your team.
Well, I mean, on where things fall, there's one guy out there saying Eddie Goldman out of Florida State, which would be interesting. But
that's true. I got Goldman going to the Packers at 30.
Yeah, you could be right on that. They like the FSU guys over there.
How about I see the Patriots on this mock draft are taking Rashad Perryman, the wide receiver out of UCF.
Wow.
And Todd Gurley, one last one. Todd Gurley going to the Seahawks.
That's going to be interesting if that happens. I mean, I hope the kid gets back. I really do.
I do, too.
He was a talented – I mean, you just don't like to see that happen to anybody.
Oh, he was a machine.
Yeah, he
was. Just a machine.
He was
big, strong, fast.
You know,
I mean,
well, Mark, if he stays healthy the whole year – I mean, I know he had a little bit of the hiccup, kind of, but, you know, does he challenge Mariota for that? For that Heisman Trophy?
Oh, I think so. Oh, I think there's no doubt about it. I really do. Because, you know what, Bill? He was also returning kicks, so now he was multifaceted.
Right.
So he wasn't just running the ball. He was returning kicks also and returning them for touchdowns. If Gurley doesn't get hurt, the thing now is that you do not take a running back in the first round.
Right.
It seems to be because, it's just not
worth it. The game's changed a little bit. Yes, I mean, it really has.
But Gurley is the exception.
He's a beast.
That I have heard that if he didn't get injured, that he would have been a top 15 pick, which, you know, is few and far between now for running backs. They truly are the expendable position in the NFL. Okay, hey, you know, so there's the mock draft. Let's move on. This past week, A-Rod, batted for the first time for the Yankees in, you know, in a year. But and there's so much, you know, controversy that surrounds this guy. And we talked about this the other week. But, you know, he came up to the plate. And a lot of people were anticipating it. A lot of people were looking forward to it, either in a positive way or hoping that, you know, he struck out or got hit by the pitch or something like that. You know what I mean? But there was anticipation. There was excitement for his debut, even though he's been in the majors forever. But still, it was his debut again after all this controversy, which when I saw that, I said, you know what? This would be fun to talk about. And that is some debuts of a player that maybe you watched from high school to college and from college to the NFL or to the NBA or to the NHL. And I always find it very exciting, even for guys that I don't know too much about, but I hear a lot of hype. And a good example is I knew about Sidney Crosby for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I couldn't wait to see this guy make his debut. Gretzky was before my time, believe it or not, for him making a debut. I think his rookie was 79. So, you know, I was 8 years old and I live in Florida, so I didn't know too much about hockey. Sticking with hockey, though, I remember Eric Lindros.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that name?
Yeah, yeah, the Flyers. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Big boy, number 88.
Yes, very good. And I just remember his, you know, his debut and how much I was looking forward to that. And it kind of translates into, I can't wait to see Jameis Winston put on a Buccaneer uniform and walk out there and take the first snap for the Bucs.
Yeah.
Even in preseason, I'm fired up about that.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I'm looking
forward to that. We'll go down some others, but anybody off the top of your head that you could think of that you're like, man, I could not wait for him to maybe even take his first game in college basketball. There was so much hype around Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, yeah.
That I kind of couldn't wait to see him play for Kansas.
Right. Well, you know, I told your brother about this when we were going through college. There was a little guy that was, I'd go back and watch play at my high school because my brother was playing with him, named Emmett Smith, that I kept saying, you know, everyone's not really, I mean, this guy's got all these yards and he does everything right. And I've met him. He's a great guy, humble, does the little things right. And I'm like, you know what? This guy really, he can run the ball. And they always say, well, is he fast enough? He's not big enough. But man, the guy just don't get tackled and he just beats people, you know? And sure enough, I mean, he had his biggest breakout game in his first year of college against the team I used to root for, which was Alabama. He ran for like 300-something yards against them. Never forget that.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. Just smoked them. And I was like, wow. Just amazing. He was amazing. And then, of course, when he, you know, finally got to Dallas, just, it was exciting to watch
him.
Can you remember,
Seminole Bill, the first time that, and this is a good example of, like, the first play or first game of him playing for the Cowboys?
Oh, man. You know what?
Not necessarily of what did he do in that game.
Right, just the hype.
It was against. I'm just saying just being, you know.
Excited
you're anticipating it. You know what I mean?
You know, that is true. I was generally, I mean, look, you're very fortunate when you get to have, you run into one person that you watch progress like that. You know, you're just lucky to be around one person. I've been blessed to be around several. You know, whether it was high school or college, and watch him coming through. And I'm going to tell you, man, there was no matter what team he played for in college, just the type of person he was, and knowing he was an alumni from high school, and the type of role model that he's always been, even though that thing gets thrown around a little bit too much now.
Sure.
He was exactly what I was hoping. I mean, the one that they always said wasn't going to do this, wasn't going to do that, yet he rushed for 8,800 yards in high school in Florida, in the state of Florida, the great state of Florida, one of the top five of all time, only had four fumbles his whole career, playing as a freshman all the way up through his senior year, and then going to Florida, playing his years there, and then getting to the big time and just saying, you know what, that kid was exactly who we thought he would be, and people doubted him, and he just made everybody look silly for doubting him. Emmett was Emmett, you know? That's what we always said. He is who he was. And
you know what? Here's another guy. And you know what? I think if you didn't watch him or he didn't play for your team, I think it boils down to how much hype was around him. So I can remember seeing the special on Bryce Harper.
Ah.
You know, being on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16, foregoing his senior year in high school so he could go to junior college or something, or minor league baseball or whatever it was, so he could play against better competition, because he wasn't going to get any better playing against these kids in high school because he was that much better than them. And I just remember I could not wait for this guy to make his debut in Major League Baseball. And what the reason I bring up those is because I'm not a huge baseball fan, used to be, but, you know, I don't follow that closely. It's just, you know, it's just so long. When it comes to playoffs, yes. And NHL as well, you know. So these guys, they really did make an impact through all the hype machine and everything.
Right.
Another
right.
guy is, and he lived up to the hype too, is, let's be honest, I mean, could you not wait to see LeBron James play for Cleveland when he first came into the NBA to see if he was as good as everybody thought he was?
Yeah, you know, there you go. That's a great example. I mean, you know, MJ kind of, you know, was around a bunch of other great players in and around at a certain time at North Carolina, but he still had some hype coming in the league. But I think LeBron had maybe more hype coming in than Michael did, you know?
I think so. Don't you? Don't you think he had more hype?
Because they were already comparing him to Michael, you know?
Yeah. And one was straight out of high school, too.
Right.
Yeah.
You could, I mean, what about Kobe? Would Kobe be one as well? I mean,
you know what, though? He wasn't what LeBron was. And maybe that part of the reason, a part of that is also, is that the social media stuff wasn't what it was.
Right.
You know, ESPN wasn't what it was. I mean, we were watching LeBron play high school basketball. You know, I don't remember watching Kobe play high school basketball, you know, on a weekly basis or anything like that. I think that's what it is.
I'll give you a pair, though, back in the day that – the hype was there because of the rivalry that started, and you've probably seen the thing on them, but Bird and Magic coming out after that amazing, you know, game where he played for Indiana State and against Michigan State in the finals, there was a legitimate hype around those two guys moving to the NBA. And they, I mean, at that time, the NBA needed it, and boy did they carry it.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, you know what, Bill? Yes, that's interesting. Not to get off topic of what we're talking about here, but that's a great, What a neat question, though. Has there ever been, how many pairs were a rivalry in college that was awesome that then went to the pros and became even a better rivalry between the two guys on two successful teams?
That's something you put out there. That's a good one.
Bill, make that note so we can talk about that next week, okay? We're not going to have time today. But that's an excellent point. All right. Hey, stay with us, folks. Coming up, we have our water check, our fitness tip. And I hear Terminus Eric is on fire back there drinking water, trying to outdo Seminole Bill. And also, we have our entertainment segment, the Walking Dead recap. All of that coming up here on the Mark Floyd Show. Stay with us.
It's me, Mark Lloyd. Okay, fans, Peyton Manning, LeBron James, and Andrew Luck, all number one picks. Now let me tell you who your number one pick should be when it comes to protecting your identity. Hands down, it's Rapid Pro from our great friends at Fraud Protection Network. You hear the stories daily, retailer after retailer, having their so-called secure systems being hacked into by criminals, and thousands of good folks like you instantly becoming victims of identity theft. Our amazing team at Fraud Protection Network has developed the next generation in identity theft protection. Rapid Pro, real-time identity theft protection. You get credit monitoring, lost wallet protection, and positive trigger alerts, change of address, payday cash advance, and public records monitoring as well. It's all there, friends. You get true real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff, award-winning member service support, and $25,000 service guarantee to back you up. Call Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Take it from Mark Lloyd. When it comes to identity theft, the number one pick is Rapid Pro from Fraud Protection Network.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
If you have something to add to the show, it better be as interesting as Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Arguably the best music and television right there. Me and 16 million people seem to agree with that every single week. The Walking Dead, we're going to get into that just a little bit on The Walking Dead and slash our entertainment segment. We'll recap last week's show. Right now, though, it's time for our fitness tip. Guys, you ready?
Ready.
You know what? This is really important. It's interesting. It's a fitness tip, but it's also kind of like the gear that you wear. And this is really important. And I went through this recently. I couldn't figure out what was going on with my ankle from running so much. And I was like, gosh, my ankle is bothering me. And you know what? It slipped my mind. It's my shoes. I changed my shoes, and my ankle slowly got better over the week, and now it's pretty much back to normal. And I said, gosh, I can't forget how important it is to have the right gear, no matter what you're doing, especially your tennis shoes, sneakers, whatever you want to call them, and especially if you are a runner. So it pays to go get fitted for your shoes and to get it done correctly, because then you always know what type of shoe that you need to buy. So don't ever underestimate that. So there's your fitness / gear tip this week. Now it's time for the water check.
You know, someone's been sitting over there awful quiet this show, and I kept wondering what was going on. And he's over there swinging water. I mean, swinging it. We're not just talking about little drinks for him. This is like gulping, like that sound a minute ago.
You know what? I'm telling you, something about Terminus Eric has like rededicated himself. And you know what? I don't think it has anything to do with he wants to drink lots of water because we know how healthy it is. Yeah. I think he just wants to beat you.
I think you're right. I think you said something to him while I was gone.
Did
you?
We have three guys here.
Did you get on to him?
Everybody wants to be in first place.
Did you get on to him while I was gone or something? Because he's changed a lot since I've been back.
Well, I think, you know what it was? When you were gone, he had no choice but to be in second place.
Right? Yeah, I guess he liked
that. And I think, though, he doesn't want to relinquish that title just yet.
Maybe.
So,
we'll see. We'll see.
All right, but we're going to do it like this. I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm at 68 ounces, so I'm a little down today, but I have my bottle here. I'm going to come on strong. Let Terminus Eric go second, Seminole Bill.
All right.
And then we'll see where you are at, Seminole Bill. Terminus Eric, where are you at?
I thought you were going first.
He already went. You're still drinking water. You didn't even hear it.
Unbelievable.
I thought that.
He's still drinking water. All right, Seminole Bill, go. What are you at?
You got me by about 12 ounces. I'm down at 56, but come behind
you. You know what, though? That's not bad at all. 56 ounces? Yeah. That's probably a solid second place. Terminus Eric, where are you at? 10? 12 ounces?
10, 12 ounces. Really? You think I've been chugging that 10 to 12 ounces?
Well, I figured you didn't start with anything. 10 to 12 ounces is chugging.
It takes a while for the man to get going.
Okay, so I was still chugging water. Guess what? I'm at 60.
Holy cow. Wait a minute. How many bottles over there?
Too many to count.
He does.
Terminus Eric, similar to Bill. He's got
three empties over there, and he's on the other one. So that would be about right.
Terminus, be honest with me.
I'm drinking
is it
right
because
now.
You know drinking water is healthy, or you just want to beat some of the Bill?
I highly dislike water, so I just want to stay.
So you just want to beat some of the Bill and be in second place.
Good challenge.
At least some of the Bill, at least he's honest.
You know
right?
What's going on is he's got all these cows listening now for some reason to him. And I think that's got to be it. Mark, you might have hit the right note while I was gone.
I think so, which is a good thing, some of them.
We'll take it. Anyway, we can get it.
All right, so first place is me, which is fine. You know what I mean? I really love water. Second place, though, is a solid second place. Is Terminus Eric. Third place is Seminole Bill. Seminole Bill, you have your work cut out for you. Next week, you better come strong to the table. Okay, let's look back on last week's episode. Time for our entertainment segment. And when it's Walking Dead season, that's our entertainment show that we always like to talk about. And you know what? Terminus, Eric, I know you read ahead and you know some spoilers. So I don't want you to comment. I want you to comment, but I don't want you to comment because you know stuff. I'm basically speculating on everything. I don't read ahead. I don't read the comic books. I don't read any spoilers or anything like that. I am baffled right now. I am baffled, but I do have an opinion. Okay, so the whole team moves into this community. Everything looks good, which we know it can't be as good as it looks. But what I'm thinking is, are the bad people actually Rick and them? Rick and his group? Because he did finish off the show by saying, well, then we'll just take this community. And I'm saying to myself, are the people that live in there, are they truly okay? And it's Rick's group that now is kind of the shaky ones. You guys agree? What do you think?
I'm mixed on it right now, but I just think Rick is having a hard time adjusting to going back to a normal way of life. And that, you know, it's just, that's the way it is. I mean, they've been on the road, so to speak, for a while now, and they're used to having to survive.
Yeah, I'm Terminus, can you comment without spoiling anything because you've read ahead?
Well, I don't read too much ahead because, trust me, I don't like to ruin the surprises for myself. But if you noticed Carol with the way she was acting in all regards, like how she didn't know how to take the gun off her shoulder, and she had a smile on her face all the time. And then she made references to her ex-husband that she absolutely disliked. And in the video, she said that she missed him every single day. I think she really is the most dangerous one.
Huh. Well, that's kind of, wow, really? I remember her saying that in that interview, yes.
And that was interesting because she was lying, obviously, because
you know, he beat her and everything like that, and they killed him. But, huh, you think she's the dangerous one? Because you know what, though? You are right. When she was saying something to Rick or Daryl, she did have, oh, she said we can't afford to get weak, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in agreement, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird role reversal. Me, you know, not watching as long as you have, but the other girl that's always that just got appointed to be the constable with him. She's the one that carries the machete all the time.
Yeah.
She was always a very hard one to read and very, you know, angry. And now she's kind of fitting into this role of trying to hope that this is a place they can put roots down, it looks like.
Huh. That's really interesting. And let me ask you a question. Where's the preacher?
Where is the preacher? We don't see him. And where's the guy that's following him? That's the guy, the straggler. We haven't seen him yet.
That's true. I don't know where he is, but was he in the house?
I thought he was.
I did not see him get interviewed. I did not see him when they showed, they panned around the house and them all sleeping together in that one house. I have not seen that guy. And I'm going, well, they just can't. Did something happen and I missed it? Did somebody say something? What happened to him? Have you heard anything?
I haven't seen anything or heard anything. I remember seeing him, but
he was in a scene, I think.
I think he was in the beginning, the very beginning of the episode, but I didn't see him after that.
How did they not show him in the house, though? Did you see him in the house?
I did not pay that much attention. It was a very quick scene. They just kind of like showed everybody in the background, so you couldn't really tell exactly who exactly was in there. But
I'm lost when it comes to him because I've not had an explanation. It's too good of a show for somebody just to disappear and us not realize where the heck he is.
Speaking of episodes, I heard that the finale, which is four shows away, is going to be 90 minutes long.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, really? 90 minutes?
90 minutes.
Finally. I never understood it when they did a season finale, how they don't make it longer. And they always 60 minutes. I'm like, are you kidding me? Or actually 48 minutes because of commercials and everything. And I'm going, really? Like, you couldn't make it an hour and a half or 2 hours long? The ratings are going to go through the roof. You could sell the crap out of it, all the money you can make from it. So it's going to be an hour and a half. Good deal, Terminus. Good information there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's breaking news.
That is breaking news.
see what happens when you drink lots of water. You think more clear.
Yeah, right.
I guess so.
Yeah. Well, we're all thinking clear here. All right, that's going to do it for us. Great show, fellas. So thanks, everybody out there, for hanging with us on this Saturday. We will talk again with you next week. So, for some of the Bill, some of the Sarah, I'm Mark Floyd. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, everybody.